Important dates in Christian history. 405 AD. After 23 years of work, translating from Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, Jerome completes the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible that becomes the standard for the next 1,000 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like Rodney Dangerfield. I don't think that's actually right, because I'm like Rodney Dangerfield. I'm going to go back to school. This is Wretched Radio. Didn't he just go back to school as an adult to party?
I don't know.
Was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not why I'm going back to school. Not going to be like Rodney Dangerfield at all, even though I suspect I might not get no respect either. Get to go to university campuses this fall to engage with students. And Jimmy, do you know how we're going to do it?
How?
We're going to crush them.
Yes.
We're going to make them look stupid and uneducated, lazy, slothful Gen Z. They didn't grow up the way that... I'm sorry. That's not our ministry. That's what other people
That's
do.
Already taken.
That is already taken. Wow, and is it popular? We want to go to the university campuses because I think there's a different wind blowing. It used to be about debate. It used to be about ramming heads together. I don't see it that way anymore. Sure, there's some students who are going to be like that. But overall, I think the zeitgeist of our time is that the young people are just, they're looking. They know things are off kilter, but they don't know what kilter is. And they're trying to sort it. And we want to go to the university campuses to meet them with what they're dealing with and show them that Jesus Christ is what is missing in their life. And so we're doing events in Georgia, going to Oklahoma U to talk about the issue of deconstruction with it, which is all the rage these days. And if it goes as well as I'm hoping it is going to go, I'm not supposed to tell you this now, so I won't tell you. This is going to be a big deal for us in 2026. We want to get to as many campuses as we can to deal with a variety of subjects. Yeah, we'll engage with what it means to be a young man. We'll engage with the issue of pornography. We'll engage with the issue of origins, science. We'll engage in Christian ethics. We'll engage even in getting young people ready for marriage and parenting. They're thinking about it. Brad Bigney would crush it if you went to a university campus to explain to them, hey, you've been putting off marriage because you've got a wrong perception of it. Here's what marriage is, and this is what it's going to do for you, and this is what you're going to become, and this is how profound it is. Furthermore, we want to talk about mental health issues. Going to be doing that with Greg Giffert at Kennesaw State University and North Georgia University. But when I go to Oklahoma, I get to talk about the subject of deconstruction. Mentioned maybe last week, there was a book written by Alyssa Childers and Tim Barnett that I heard about and thought, hey, it deals with the deconstruction of Christianity. Maybe I could glean some things. Well, I ordered the book, I got it, and now I hold it in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers and would like to share with you perhaps a bit of an understanding of why so many students are deconstructing so that your student won't. And here's what I'm getting from this. And I don't know where they're going to go in the book yet. I'm only a few chapters into it. I think we might just keep this on the front burner here at Wretched because they've identified, I believe, five typical reasons why young people are deconstructing. That's instructive. So we got to know what those issues are. But my question is, and this is what I'm pondering before going to Oklahoma, is how do you persuade them that Christianity shouldn't be deconstructed? Why should you not throw out the baby and the bathwater when it comes to these five issues? And I am not sure that engaging on the level of each one of the issues is going to do it. I'm not sure at this moment, but I think we need to give them a more transcendent view of God and of Christianity and the Bible. I think they need to be persuaded that there is something bigger and better. There's something that that is actually works. There's something that will actually help you to live a life that makes sense. And unless I think we accomplish that, they're just going to find an excuse. So let me share with you some of these excuses, starting with the preamble from Carl Truman. And Carl is always good. He reminds us that this deconstruction business, it ain't new. There's kind of an old school name for what the kids call deconstruction. We used to call it apostasy. This is nothing new. Said there's a number of cases in the New Testament, starting with 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas had fallen in love with the things of this world. That's key. If somebody deconstructs, it's because they've fallen in love with the world and they've fallen out of love, not that they were ever in love, with the triune God. They love the things of this world. That's what drives deconstruction. I don't know that it's necessarily these excuses. I think the excuses are used to justify their desire to abandon righteousness and holy living and the rules of their parents because, rules are just oppressive. Because they love the world, just like Demas. The language of deconstruction, writes Truman, is something of a pose. Those who use the term and its cognates often have little grasp of its origins or its technical meaning. Thus, it uses this novel intellectual veneer of sophistication to something more prosaic. The age-old phenomenon of abandoning Christianity. Well, we don't call it that. That's too old school. We call it deconstruction. And so it gives it this veneer of sophistication, and it makes it sound like you're the smart one because you've deconstructed something so horrible. One key affinity between postmodern American deconstruction and the current penchant for apostasy, both see external authority as a problem. This should sound familiar. Both see external authority as a problem of manipulative power structures and their demolition as liberating. Does that sound like Marxism to anybody else? Even if it's social Marxism? Deconstruct societal norms so that you can live life authentically. In other words, cast off all of the restraints, get rid of the people who oppress you, and then you will live happily ever after. And guess what? That mindset, religion doesn't have a wall around it. Pernicious philosophies will inevitably come knocking on the door of the church. So the mindset that the kids have been getting taught now for very long, now at least a couple of decades, probably more. The whole idea that anybody who is in authority is oppressive and must be cast off because they're an oppressor and you are oppressed. And Christianity is the chief oppressor. It just wants to rob you of your fun. And this is why I'm taking the time to think through, all right, now how do you unravel that? How do you unwind that? And right now, my conclusion is, well, you are already following an authority. You already have an oppressor. The only question is, who is it? Most likely, if you're deconstructing, you're oppressor is you, because you're writing the rules for your life. You're imposing the terms on yourself. There is always going to be somebody who makes the decisions, and it's always going to be the person that has the most authority. And the question then, of course, is, well, who has the most authority? And the answer is God. And so he gets to make the rules. He gets to impose his ways. Now we need to go further in that, because if you just think, well, God is going to impose his ways, then I happen to think he's a terrible meanie. Well, you have the wrong perception about God. You need to understand that God's ways are best ways, that God's ways are good ways. God's ways are the ways. God's ways are the way things work. And if you want to flourish, if you want to walk in real reality, you simply have to submit to the one who says this is the best way. I think the issue of oppression is big for the deconstructionists. The question, of course, and this is what I'm going to continue to ponder, is how do you show them a better way? From Carl Truman, the current problem with apostasy is not fundamentally different from the problem in the past. Demas rejected the faith for the same reason the TikTok apostate does. He loves the world more than he loves Christ. And that is why I think if we're going to go to university campuses, we need to give sufficient reason to love Christ more than the world. And guess what? We've got those. We don't just have sufficient reason. We have overflowing reason to show he's the better. He is the better choice. He's the one who knows best. Rules aren't meant to just rob you of all the fun. No, they're meant to provide you with something transcendently. I'll use the word fun. Something greater, something bigger, something nobler. That's what God wants for you. The rules are an encouragement to not choose cistern water, to not choose the lesser, to not choose the pus of an open sore, because that's what sin is. To not choose the dog vomit, to not choose the stench from an open grave. God's rules are the best rules. So if you know somebody who's thinking about deconstructing, don't forget those two emphases. They don't like oppression, and they don't like God because they don't like his rules. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field. You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glom, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle John wrote a second epistle, which warned about false teachers who take advantage of Christian hospitality to spread false doctrine. As you continue to walk in love, be careful to distinguish between truth and error. false teachers have no fellowship with God. Therefore, God's people are to have no fellowship with false teachers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There are two ways to engage the youthful deconstructionist. This is Wretched Radio. This would be way number one. Jimmy, are you ready to play your role as the university student who thinks that God is a great big cosmic meanie?
Absolutely.
We should have rehearsed this, shouldn't we? Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. All right,
here we go. So, Jimmy, you're a university student.
Okay.
And you've heard Richard Dawkins say that God is just a megamaniacal dictator, and you've got an issue with Jesus and Christianity, and you've discovered I'm a Christian. So go ahead, bring your big accusation toward me, and I will respond with option number one.
Okay.
Yep.
So, Todd, you're a Christian.
Yes, sir.
You love God.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't he judgmental and mean?
Do you want some pizza? Want to play a gross out game? Got a kicking band and a light show. Have you ever seen a fog machine fill up an entire room?
What does that have?
Oh, it has everything to do with option one. That is how so many youth ministries have engaged kids who aren't stupid. And they're asking legitimate questions, whether they've heard them on social media or not, wherever they picked it up. They want answers to questions. And one of the ways that we have almost predominantly been responding to young people is to amuse them. How trite, how juvenile, how disrespectful. This would be option number two. How's about, I don't know, you respond to a young person with questions with respect. With treating them with imago Dei dignity and teaching them what is an accurate understanding of Christianity. Because the Richard Dawkins accusation that God is a cosmic meanie with just a bunch of rules, well, that's just wrong. Just wrong. The book that I'm holding is called The Deconstruction of Christianity. It's written by Alyssa Childers and Tim Barnett. He's actually, I think he's associated with Stand to Reason. Chapter two is about ex-evangelical. That's the online trend, the hashtag. You're an ex-evangelical, so it's an ex-evangelical. Apparently, there's a number of podcasts dedicated to just talking about your deconstruction experience. And they went through the internet machine and they gleaned some of the reasons from people at hashtag ex-evangelical why they don't believe in God anymore. And they offer up reasons like this. Quote, a God that requires belief in it in order to avoid eternal punishment while also not providing evidence of its existence is not a loving God. Okay, that should be so basic. There shouldn't be a kid in eighth grade who can't dismantle the three accusations in that one statement. He requires belief in it in order to avoid eternal punishment. Well, we understand that it does avoid eternal punishment, but that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is not primarily about escaping the flames of hell. It is about the privilege and joy of knowing the God who dies for sinners to save them from hell. And I suspect most deconstructionists do not understand that truth. You perhaps go, yeah, I know that. You do. They don't. Here's the second. To avoid eternal punishment while also not providing evidence of its existence. Ay, gavilta fish. No evidence of his existence? I don't know. How's about, say, you? How's about, I don't know, the entire planet? Is the universe enough proof for you that there's a universe maker? And then it says, he's not a loving God. I know that the love of God has been roundly abused in so many circles. But even in those liberal Protestant circles or the Joel Osteen-like circles, it's a poor definition of love. It's not a robust understanding of what a sacrificial agape love that loves despite the unloveliness of the person being loved. That's agape love, the love that God shows, is not to charming, delightful souls who are so worthy of his affection. No, he loves the unlovable. That's how amazing the love of God is. And while we've seen the abuse of it, that doesn't mean that we should stop talking about the love of God. You can't help but wonder if we haven't in some way contributed to the sadness that permeates our society. Let's be honest. People like to be loved. You like to be loved. I like to be loved. Jimmy someday might experience. Somebody might love Jimmy someday. He'll enjoy that. It's a human thing. And we haven't been talking about the love of God as much as we should. And so people can sling out these accusations. Oh, he's a megamaniacal dictator. He doesn't give any evidence of his existence. Oh, you don't understand who God is. And that is why methinks, I know we're months away from me going to Oklahoma, to the university, to go back to school and talk about deconstruction with the students. But I'm thinking just changing their understanding of what Christianity is a pretty good starting place. What do you think? I suspect most young people think Christianity is about oppression. It's about rules. It's about robbing us of fun. It's a joyless sort of thing. Well, here's another one of the excuses that people give at ex-evangelical. I'm not going to derive my cosmology from 4,000-year-old legends of a jealous, bloodthirsty demigod. You don't even know what you don't know what you're talking about. Here's another one. In abusive relationships, one person convinces another person that they are worthless and no one else could ever love them. That's why people stay. That's also how the church operates. Well, hold on a second. Let's ask a question. Are we worth anything? If you don't believe in God, a human being is dirt. That's it. A human being is sophisticated ooze, no more, probably even less. You have no value unless there is one to ascribe value to you. Because in and of ourselves, okay, here, this I've got a box of Kleenex in front of me. Is this Kleenex valuable? And the answer is, well, it depends. It depends on if somebody values it. Does somebody need it? Okay, so now here's what I'm doing. Can't hear it. I'm folding. Wow. Did you see all the stuff that... Did you see it? Jimmy, can you see that? I was crinkling. I was going to throw the tissue away.
Uh-huh.
But all this stuff, like a cloud of stuff. I know what Puffs is up to. They put all that powder in there. So you go to blow your nose, you can't see it. And all you do is you get more fluff up your nose. So you have to keep using the Kleenex.
That's it.
I'm telling you.
Circular.
This, I need to go on the Joe Rogan show with this theory because I'm telling, okay, that Kleenex is now in the garbage. Does it have any value? No, doesn't. Why? Nobody needs it. Nobody wants it. Bingo. Unless there is one to ascribe value to human beings, they have no value. And so this accusation is simply inaccurate. The staggering news of the gospel is that you are worthless, and yet you have value because the one who made you ascribes value to you. That's what makes you precious. Not what you're composed of, but because of the one who composed you and says, I value you. I ascribe that to you. I love you. University students and most kids in youth groups, they've been pizza partied to pieces. They have been grossed out game. They've been treated like juveniles. And we are simply not addressing the big questions and the big issues. So what are they doing? They're deconstructing. And what are they deconstructing? A mist, a vapor, a straw man. They're not deconstructing Christianity. They're deconstructing what they think Christianity is. For many, this is from the book. For many in the ex-evangelical community, evangelical is perceived to be synonymous with misogyny, racism, homophobia, and the political support of Donald Trump. Okay, that's a shame. I understand why they might come to those conclusions, but what are we telling them to counter it? And why do so many Christian kids who spend their youth in groups consuming pizza and playing games, why do they believe that's what Christianity is about? Because we simply haven't taught them the truth. In the deconstruction movement, essential Christian truths like the doctrine of final judgment, substitutionary atonement, and biblical authority are often rightly associated with evangelicalism, but also lumped together with white supremacy, Christian nationalism, Western civilization in general. This is one reason the mantra, decolonize your theology, has become so popular in deconstruction circles. In other words, they're deconstructing something that doesn't exist. So if a kid is going to deconstruct, well, ultimately you and I can't stop that, but we can make sure that they deconstruct what Christianity is and not what it isn't, simply by telling them the truth and teaching them of the glories of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.